Now, as you saw, we are in the second part of our little series on the things that God asks us. Our scripture passage today, very, very well-known passage, and you're going to find that in Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 to 9, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Genesis 3, verse 1 to 9. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "But God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. And then she gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And then the Lord God called to them, "Where are you?" So here we have the well-known story of Adam and Eve. And we know, in our language, we have the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. And by now, I know that this is a really familiar passage. And you might be thinking, we know exactly where it's going. Please don't. Hang on there with me and see if God has something special to say to you this morning. Adam and Eve, in a sense, I think they represent each one of us as we are, men, women, children, all of us. And then there's this garden, this amazing place that God provided for them, in which they could live the most wonderful life ever. Everything they needed, God provided in this garden. There was air to breathe. There was food to eat. There was work to be done. There was relationships to be had. There was love to be given. It's all there, and God says, "It's yours. Enjoy." But, says God, just one little thing, please. In the middle of the garden, there's this tree. Right now, you are not right to eat from the fruit of that tree yet. So please don't go to the tree and don't eat from that fruit. It's not for you yet. Please don't do that. Unfortunately, we just read that. Adam and Eve decide not to acknowledge God. Walter Brueggemann, in his commentary on this passage, he says, "This is the defining pathology of the society in which we live today, a refusal to acknowledge God." But here's the thing. The moment we refuse to let God be God, that's the other word for not acknowledging God. The moment we refuse to not let God be God, that's when stuff happens, bad stuff. That's when the chaos comes. That's when the hurt comes. That's when the messes come. That's when the heartache comes. The moment we do not acknowledge God. Here's Adam and Eve. They have everything. They live in harmony with everything, with the world, with themselves, with their lives. All is good. All is amazing. Until the moment that Adam and Eve decide to take things into their own hands and decide to play God. And the moment they decide to play God, there's chaos. There's a mess. There's anger. There's hurt. There's pain. This the same Adam that just a few minutes ago, well, a few days, a few months, who knows, was still singing this beautiful love song. bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. I love you. All of a sudden, it's the woman that you gave me. There goes the relationship. This beautiful garden that gave them everything, all of a sudden there's thorns and thistles. This beautiful open relationship, and all of a sudden they're looking at each other. Where do we find designer? Tommy Hilfiger fig leaves so we can just cover ourselves. There goes the relationship. This relationship with God, where God came to visit in the afternoon. All of a sudden we find them hiding. They mess it up. Because they don't acknowledge God for who God is. But then, my friends, there's this most beautiful text. And for me, I think one of the most beautiful texts in the Bible. When we read, in the cool of the evening breeze, the Lord God came and he walked in the garden. And he was looking for Adam and Eve. And then he asks, Adam, Eve, where are you? And that's our second question that God asks us in this series. Where are you? Where are you with your life? Where are you with your relationships with me, with others? Where are you today? And as I was pondering this question and just thinking about my own life, I was thinking, there's a few things that come to mind that God invites us to do when God asks this question. And I think the first thing that I realized is that when God asks this question, is that God invites us with this question to stop and to reflect, to take stock of our lives. And that's a difficult thing for us to do, right? Because, I mean, we're busy. And we live in a world that's busy. And we're always running. And everything is set up so that we can run. There's a drive-through for coffee. There's a drive-through for food. There's fast food. There's fast breakfast. There's hit a button and someone will bring you your food kind of stuff. And we're always on the go. Can I remind you what I've said a million times? And I'll keep on saying that. That when God creates this world, he puts a rhythm into the world. It sounds like this. Work, 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 rest. We just run. We never rest. We're just going, going, going. And when God asks the question today, where are you? It's an invitation to stop the madness. And to just stop for a moment and to reflect on your life. Maybe reflect on this question. Where are you, me, in your relationship with God? Is it the same as your life? It's just running, running, running. God, keep up. If you can't keep up, I'm sorry. I need to move. So I do a little prayer maybe when I wake up and through the day, if I remember, kind of, hi God, I'm still there. How are you doing? I'm kind of okay. And maybe tonight I have a little time to read. If I don't have time to read, I just let it go. And when I need God, then I take a little time. And God just has to run with me and God run. Where are you in your relationship with God? What happens when I just run? And God can't run anymore. What happens when I run away from God? When I run so far and so fast that God can't keep up? Stop. Stop. Take time. Take time in your busy day, because what'll happen is as I take time to pray, God can speak. If I just say a few words and I jump up and run, when does God can't get a chance to talk to me? If I don't sit in his word and take time to be in his word, when does God find time to speak to me? Where are you in your relationship with God? Where are you in your inner life, in your thoughts, in your feelings, in your emotions? What are you doing with them? Are you keeping them inside? Are you hiding them away? Or are you just lashing out because you don't know what else to do? Stop. Take time. Reflect. Take them out. Bring them to God. Take them to a friend. Be gentle. Speak. Don't keep them in there. Stop. Where are you in your relationships with your husband, wife, with your children, with your parents? Do you know how important that is, my friends? Can I tell you a little personal story for a second? This past week, I called my mother and I said, "Mom, I just had a feeling I need to call you. How are you doing?" And she says, "I'm doing fine." And I realized there's a bout coming. "But your dad's in hospital." My mom and dad live in South Africa. Everything is closed. No one can go anywhere. My dad's in hospital. And it's his lungs. And I'm sitting on this side. But you see, my friends, that's why I'm asking you, where are you in your relationships? Because it's so important that we have those moments together. And when we have them, that we enjoy them. That we make the most of them. Because we never know when that time runs out and then it's too late. It's now that you need to stop. Make time for your wife. Make time for your husband. Make time for your parents. Make time for your children. Make time for your loved ones. My little grandchild doesn't care if my study door is closed. No one else will touch that door. He knocks with his little fist and stands on his tippy toes and he opens the door and he comes in and he says, "Opa, even if I'm on a Zoom meeting with the management team," and he'll jump on my lap. And it's okay. When God asks, "Where are you?" He's asking you to stop and reflect on your life and take stock of what is the most important. Let me give you an example. A woman by the name of Portia Nelson wrote this beautiful poem. It's called Autobiography in 5 Short Chapters. Chapter 1. I walk down the street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I fall in. I'm lost. I'm helpless. It isn't my fault. It takes me forever to find a way out. Chapter 2. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I pretend I don't see it. I fall in again. I can't believe I'm in the same place, but it isn't my fault. It still takes a long time to get out. Chapter 3. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I see it. It's there. I still fall in. It's a habit. My eyes are open. I know where I am. It's my fault. I get out immediately. Chapter 4. I walk down the same street. There's a deep hole in the sidewalk. I walk around it. Chapter 5. I walk down another street. See, my friends, that's what happens when we stop and we hear God saying, "Where are you?" And we allow God to speak into our lives. That's when our lives change. That's when life happens. That's when newness happens. That's when newness comes into our lives. Where are you? But there's a second invitation. It's an invitation to stop hiding. What's the first thing Adam and Eve do when they blow it? They go hide. Because isn't that our default? Isn't that what we do? We hide our messes. We hide our pain. We hide our heartaches. That's the easy thing for us to do. But God says, don't do that. Here's my invitation. Where are you? It's an invitation into a place of honesty, being honest with yourself, a place of openness, a place of transparency, where we will find life and the newness that God gives again. But we hide, and we find so many ways to hide. One of the best ways we hide is in our busyness. Oh, I'm so busy. And we think, if I'm busy, I can stop God from asking me, where are you? What are you doing? What's going on? I'm busy. I have to do this, and I don't have to take responsibility for all the things in my life, and I hide in my busyness. Also with my family, also with my friends, also with my work. I'm so busy, so don't talk to me. Leave me alone. Where does that get you? We hide behind our masks. And we play happy family, although the family is aching and hurting. We pretend that we've got it all together, but in the meantime, we're falling apart on the inside. God invites you today when He says, where are you? He invites you to stop hiding. There's a third invitation, and I end with that. God invites you into the searching heart of the Father. When Adam and Eve go hide and God starts looking for them and He says, where are you? He's actually saying, I want to find you. I miss you. I miss our relationship. I miss our talks. I miss that you're not partnering with me. I miss that you're not part of my dream. I want to find you. Did you see that He didn't start with a finger pointing? You're a mess and you're horrible and I can't stand you. Where are you? I want to find you because I love you. When God sends His Son into this world to save the world, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came into this world to do what? To seek. Where are you? I want to find you. And to save. Where are you? I love you. Those who are lost, who are hiding. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son, so that those who accept Him, who stop hiding and say, here I am, please find me, will have life everlasting. Luke 15, when Jesus talks about this parable, and there's the two boys, and there's the 100 sheep, and there's the 10 coins. When does He stop looking? Not until He's found each one of those. God invites you with this question into the seeking heart of our Father God. Where are you? Where are you? Amen. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for not letting go. Thank you for coming and seeking until you find. That's why Jesus came. Thank you that we belong to you and we are yours forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.